go in the win. Nature Strip the lot.
No.
Hamburger with the lot.
Today we farewell an Australian icon, the greatest of all time. Wings Windsor 3rd, Queen Elizabeth beats Kluger.
G'day everybody, and welcome to another episode of the One Percenters. It's we got a new host on today, as you can tell. Not necessarily new. I've been here before, but we have a late scratching. We've got a late scratching here at the One Percenters. Sam's pulled out.
Stuart, please note.
Yeah, look, we believe he's pulled up sore from the last few runs, and his ranking sliding. He's got a lot to think about, and he's decided to take the week off. He's gone for a spell. He'll probably come back first up next week. So I'll take over the duties for today. Hopefully I'll run strongly, and Kane alongside me always runs strongly. Welcome, Kane.
Thanks, James. Good to be here, mate. What a great week of racing last week. And, the grand final, Derby Day this week. Absolutely stoked. Cannot wait. It's Christmas Day for punters all around Australia. And super coaches.
That's right. Five group ones on the card, or at least five from a super coach perspective. There is a sneaky Rose Hill group one it's not actually a group one in real life, but it is from a super coach perspective. So we're going to roll with that as we get through today. We've got Ben Caluzzi from Racing Previews on the show. He's a form analyst, does some really good work for Racing Previews. So, jump over to their Instagram page and check out all their good work. But we'll have him on later, and he'll preview all the group ones for us alongside Kane. Kane, how'd your team go last week?
Yeah, look, not fantastic, mate. As you and I spoke about just before we went to air, I got a bit cocky, to be honest, and just thought Forgot You and Elephant would both win. So I sort of just thought it doesn't matter who I put it on. And, of course, Elephant just had a flat one coming out of a fast run Toorak. That was pretty brutal. Clearly showed end of the prep now. They'll put it away. But it doesn't help us. Scored a measly 18 points, Elephant. So it's cost me 28 points. Not going for Got You. I had a look before. I'd be ranked 253 if I had have just – stuck with Forgot You. Damien Oliver as well was absolutely woeful. He was really, really bad. He was actually the favourite for the jockey challenge at Mooney Valley, and he's only managed to register 1.13 placing, I believe, which was on – might have been on Heresy. Oh, no. Actually, no, it wasn't even. He just had a terrible day.
He loses points, scream home the horses.
Did he? Yeah, he does. God, he loves that, doesn't he?
Deaf. It was a bit loud with the crowd back there. They couldn't hear him, or
maybe something like that. Yeah, he was just yelling too loud. Going on. Slowing down the horses.
I think I'm going back to J-Mac this week myself.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll discuss that a bit later.
We will. However, Floating Artist, very unlucky. Scored the 24. Forgot You was awesome. Did really well to win. And Animo, racking up the 32 points, could have been 40, but we'll talk about that protest with Benny Caluzzi, surely.
That's right. As for my own side, I went 4 weeks in a row over 200. So pretty happy with that. My rank's currently sitting at 328 overall, which is honestly the nosebleed section. It's about as high as I've got in any Supercoach rank. So I'm pretty happy with how I'm going. Been listening to the expertise of yourself, Kane, and avoiding Sam's tips, which is paying dividends for me as well. So Forgot You, captain last week, played it safe there. Floating Artist Generation, Elephant, bit disappointing. Animo in the plate, Elegant in the plate. Mwanga, tell you what, if I went State of Rest over Mwanga in the plate, it'd be absolutely flying. And as we said, Damien Oliver didn't do a lot to please from a Supercoach perspective. So, alas, we move on to this week. Quick message from our sponsors over at Rival Bet. We've got a bit of a – before we get to their little message, we have a competition running with Rival Bet this week, a really exciting competition for a $50 bonus bet with Rival Bet. And we posted the instructions on how to enter that competition on our socials today, so go and check that out. We'll definitely be reposting those over the next couple of days to help people get involved. But it's an exciting one, and yeah, only I suppose a $5 deposit or a $5 entry to get into a $50 bonus bet competition is pretty exciting. And essentially what we're doing is picking the winner from our Supercoach League for the week, and whoever top scores for the week gets the $50 bonus bet. So pretty simple. Follow the instructions on our socials, and good luck to everyone getting involved in that. Now for a quick message from our partners at Rival Bet.
Rival Bet isn't like the other betting apps. It's you against everyone. No odds, and they give refunds if there's no winners. Rival Bet provides the betting stadium, and they let you duel it out. You're betting against people, not the bookie. You can bet directly against your mates or people you don't even know. Rival Bet offers tournament-style betting, featuring multi-madness and the ability to create your own custom bet. You must be 18 or older, and please gamble responsibly.
So we've hit the good part of the show now. We're into the groups galore section, and we're lucky enough to be joined by form analyst Ben Caluzzi, who's also a friend of the show. It's great to have you on, Ben.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, it's actually my first time ever on a podcast, so it's exciting.
Wow. Got a first on the show. Great to have you on. It might just be good to get a little bit of a background into why you love racing so much and why you like assessing the form and I suppose what you look for a little bit as well when you're assessing the form.
Yeah, so my racing story is kind of just blossomed out of nowhere, really. I don't really have anyone in my family that was into racing. My first night at the races was actually Shit Talk with 2015 Medicato. So
yeah,
it was a pretty unbelievable – pretty unbelievable first night to be at the races, seeing the Grey Flash come from last and win. I think I had $20 on him at 250 and away she went. I learned over the next couple of years that you couldn't just back markers because not every horse was Chautauqua. So I learned that the hard way. I guess in terms of just finding horses, I guess all opinions are good opinions in racing. So I try to get all my opinions together. Obviously, ones you respect it more, and some of them you just don't. You know, you leave them behind, and then I look at that first, look at the odds of the horses, and then just try and find out which horses map well, which horses are set up well, and then you go to trainers and jockeys after that.
Lovely, good insight there. We obviously shared a bit of a photo of you on our socials during the week at the Cox Plate last week. You were lucky enough to be standing there. Masks on, beside the winning jockey from the race, John Allen. And how was that? How did that come to be? And give us a bit of an insight into the big protest that caught the attention of all of Australia.
Yeah, so I've been lucky enough to be working at Moonee Valley for about 6 months now. It was my first Cox Plate, and I just do a bit of racing stuff, a bit of form analysis, setting up all the racing and a bit of social media. And we actually backed State of Rest a couple months ago. So we were on at the good odds. So I was on the right side of the protest, luckily. So we were really hoping it would be dismissed, but it was unbelievable. Like, the race had finished. We all went to the stewards' room. At first, I thought, nah, it's going to be dismissed. And then the longer it went, I thought, yeah, I'm not sure, yeah. But, the horses were coming in for the next race and they still hadn't decided. So it was pretty unbelievable. We had the tweet ready saying dismissed or upheld, ready to go. So, yeah, it was cool. But, yeah, it was really good to be a part of.
That's an awesome story. And, it'll go down as one of the greats in terms of protests. A lot of people listening in wouldn't describe it as great, I'm sure. Maybe my co-host might have had a fair little wager on Animo as well, I'd say. So, I'd say he was on the wrong side of the protest. But
yeah, he might have.
Yeah.
We were definitely lucky. We were definitely lucky.
It'll be remembered for a long time, that one. We did get a funny story out of you last week from a Supercoach perspective. You are into your Supercoach. Tell us a little bit about how Hilal found its way to the team last week, and and how many points did you get for Hilal's win?
I think on Wednesday or Thursday, Brad Davidson, he's obviously a New South Wales form analyst that I respect a lot, and he put the tip out for Hilal saying he's probably going to beat Coast Watch again. So I thought, beauty, $3, I think it was $3.20 at the time, he's going in my team. I thought it would be a Group 2 race, and I found out the hard way that he didn't score 32 points, he scored zero. So no, I obviously wasn't tuning into the podcast last week.
that's one of the great stories. Talk about a pod, eh? I don't reckon too many teams would have had Hilal and probably for good reason. But the New South Wales, the Rose Hill is back on the card this week. So, have a look at the New South Wales form and pick a few favourites up there based on what we're about to get to. But it's now time for the groups galore section of the podcast. This is where Kane and Ben will take over. I'm not too much of an expert, as we know, but I'll try and get these guys through and get them plenty of tips out of them. And Kane, we're going to take it away with let me just check our notes. We're going to take it away with the Empire Rose Stakes at Flemington. The 2020 winner was Shout the Bar. It's a Group 1, and Tafane is off the top at 500K and is the favorite for the race. Tell us a bit about Tafane.
Yeah, that's right. James, I will add in, you are quickly becoming a bit of an expert, mate. I've seen your ranks at 328, so you're actually pipping myself and Sam at the moment. So I wouldn't, put your credibility in the dirt too much there, mate. You're rising up the ranks. But, no, last year, Shout the Bar was a fantastic winner of the Empire Rose. But this year we got Tafane at 500,000, favourite in the market. First go at 1600 this prep was only a length off its Centervise, and then followed that up with a second to I'm Thunderstruck in the Turak. It's got a decent gait. We'll look to settle probably in the first few pairs. Loves a dry track, and we'll certainly get one here. Bit of rain at the moment and lightning in Melbourne, but don't believe we're going to get any sort of downpour over the next 2 days. At 500K, a bit of a downside. She can't go up in price, which I think during the Melbourne Cup, Oaks, and the stakes in the last few, you might need that cash for some of these big 500K horses. I already know Zaki, Nature Strip are going to stakes day, so you're going to need the cash for those days, and she can't go up in price. However, it looks a very good winning chance, so it's most likely going in my side. Next one I want to talk about is Mystic Journey at 400,000. It was really solid first up, nearly made it to Tassie. Quinella was still a star. Seems to be with her, I'm always giving her another chance because we know how good she is, especially at this distance, obviously being an all-star mile winner. Absolute marvel of a horse, and I won't be surprised if she wins this. Colette, 475, she was fantastic for me last time out. But the numbers don't lie. One win, 2 seconds from 11 goes on dry tracks. Don't believe she'll be getting one here. It's been jumping between 1,400 and 1,600 last three runs. A slight query. Did have that setback with the foot abscess injury. And a much harder field here than Caulfield. So I don't think I'll be having her this week, unfortunately. Flying Mascot, 200,000. Burst onto the scene with a dominant last start win at the Valley. The soft ground may have helped, but she boasts decent, good dry track stats. And a bargain at 200,000 can definitely measure up and would be a nice value pick. May go a bit unnoticed as well. I don't think she's going to be highly owned this week. So if you like her, throw her in. It's It's a bit of a pod. And the last one I'm going to touch on is Still a Star at 350,000. Proof she is still, in fact, a star here last start, running over the top of them at 1,400. The step up in trip looks ideal. Second up stats read well. Drawn a good gate in five. Maps very well. Solidly priced at 350K. She's a bit of a smoky. Just want to throw it to Ben now and get your analysis on the race, mate.
Yeah, firstly, it's a ripper Empire Rose. The quality everywhere, and obviously the VRC have attracted some good horses with the added $1 million bonus. I think the only thing this race is missing this year is a three-year-old. Last couple of years, we've had a 1,000 Guineas winner. We've had Shoals, I'm a Star win, and then Odium just went down last year. I think this year, Tafane, I think that's where you have to start. I have tipped Mystic Journey on top, but I wasn't too pleased about the gate. I think it's been well documented that she's probably better outside of horses. But, yeah, just looking at the map, I think you've got Pride of Jenny, Harmony Rose and Cerulea Miss who will all go forward. I think your map horses are Flying Mascot, Still a Star and Tafane. We know how good Craig Williams is with a horse who's drawn low about getting him out of the barriers. So I think she'll be positive. In terms of Supercoach, I think I'm going to have to take Tafane, even though she's a luxury price at 500,000. I think she's just going to be there in the right position and she's going to be there to strike. And she's coming out of the best form lines, and now that she's ticked the mile box, I think she's the one for our Supercoach teams.
Lovely insight, boys. No tips from me on this one, a bit too difficult, but I do have old mate Sammy's notes here. He likes Tafane, but he also has Sierra Sue, who is a big favourite of his. As I was saying earlier in the podcast, we've got to treat all of his tips with caution because, look, we know he hasn't been in the best form lately. He's probably a Group 3 listed sort of type at best, so he's not quite in that Group 1 form anymore. But he's gone with Sierra Sue at long odds. He reckons the $27 odds are insane, quote. So note that one down if you like Sammy's bets, but, it won't be one for mine. Heading over to the Derby now, race 6 at Flemington, 2,500 metres. Plenty of likely types in this one, I think we'll find. Johnny Get Angry, last year's winner. Dennis Pagan, the trainer and owner, I believe, of that one. It was an inspiring story last year, a bit of a story of hope amongst all the COVID last year. But, there's a few. This is the bargain race for mine. If I want to just chip in with a bit of my own insight there, there's plenty of good horses from a Supercoach perspective here, and Kane, get us started on those.
Yeah, Johnny Get Angry, last year's winner, lines up in the Melbourne Cup. I think he's fifth or seventh from memory in the order of entry. So it's good to see that they're able to go on, these Derby winners. The first one we're going to touch on is Gunstock at 100,000. Put the writing on the wall last start with a big win. He was coming away from them at the 2,000 metres at Caulfield. Looks like he'll eat the 2,500. The wide gate 19, it'll probably come down to 16 after scratchings, after the emergencies come out. So probably has to sit back a little further than he likes. But at 100,000, it's a bargain price to find out. Think he wins the race, to be honest, given the right run. The next one is Forgot You at 150,000. Has become a Moonee Valley specialist with three wins from as many goes and has progressed nicely through the distances. He seems to have a flat spot in pretty much every one of his runs. He's had a flat spot sort of as they start to sprint, but then he picks himself up and has some nice closing sectionals. So I think stepping out to the 2,500, I think that'll work. I just worried that last start has taken a bit of a toll on him. He was forced to seriously work in order to win the Vase and nearly went under there for the punters. He maps well from gate 8. Just not sure if he has anything left in the tank. I know they're going to have him in good order going into it. But that last run had to be very taxing on him. At 150,000 though, it's a pretty good price to find out. And especially with the new format this year, we talk about it each week, only your top seven score. So you can have that one that you might want to take a risk on where you think it either runs first or sort of drops out. The next one is Hitotsu at 100,000. I think the Guinness form can stack up here. He went past Forgot You There and wasn't far off Animo. He ran at Sprint Trips first prep. He's come back with two runs at 1,300 and 1,600 respectively. Straight to 2,500 here. He's prime third up. And as we know, Mara and Eustace stable. They can do anything at the moment. So I wouldn't put it past him. I think he's actually a really big chance on Saturday. Might go a touch unnoticed if he doesn't firm even further in the markets. The last one I'm gonna talk about for the Derby is Tutukaka at 125,000. Brings a different form line here with a pretty dominant win, I'd say, in the Geelong Classic. Could be the dark horse of the race, and J-Mac on board is a massive tick. Looks like 2,500 will be no issue. Really got going late over the 2,200 in the Geelong Classic. And well drawn in 12, probably just slots in around midfield. Can definitely make a case for him.
Ben, any insight from you on this one? Plenty of value, like I said, from a Supercoach perspective, but who sort of dominates the market?
Yeah, certainly is. I think one of the main interesting points just off the map is that 17 Zoom On from the Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Botyard is first emergency. So he looks like the likely leader if he does get into the field. But if he doesn't, this race could be lacking a bit of speed. You've got Gundek, Commander Harry and Cerebus going forward. In terms of my picks, I thought Allegron was quite good value at the double figures, $10. He brings a Sydney form, coming off a third in the Spring Champion behind Profondo. I really rate that form. Profondo looks like the next up-and-coming star. And he just looks like a horse who's going to appreciate getting over further. I've got no knocks in the favourites. Forgot You looks like he's going to get the 2,500. The only thing with him is obviously how many times can they go to the well in one prep. But he's absolute line chaser. And even though he's 3 out of 3 at the value, does look suited getting to HQ. Gunstock, I think Jai's just got a little bit of a task from that barrier. If he can get in, then he's obviously a really good chance. I think his stablemate, Jungle Magnate, as well. I think he could add a bit of value. I'd be keeping him in my top four. But yeah, from a betting perspective, I've got Allegron on top from Forgot You. I'll probably be backing them both. And just a shout out to Will, one of the guys from the previews. He's got us all on Clyde at 200 to 1, so hopefully he can run a race.
Wow, that's huge. Actually, you mentioned racing previews there. We should have given them a bit of a plug at the top of the segment. Racing previews is, we've seen you on Instagram. You got a nice little following there, so give at Racing Previews. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Is that right, Ben?
Yeah, that's right. Racing Previews. Yeah, and then we've got a little close friends group as well, and we've been doing all right in the futures there for the spring. So give it a follow and give me a message.
Definitely.
Tell them the 1% has sent you, and you'll get straight in.
But I might even just chip in there with a little tip. I really like Commander Harry's run last start. Linda Meach was looked brave. It was a brave run from what I know. That's good. That's good racing lingo. Brave run last start. second to Forgot You, and I don't know. I just reckon that could cause a bit of a stir, especially on a soft track last time. We'll just wait and see. Don't think I'll fit it into my stable though. It might just be a dollar each way job for me.
I did see something on about Commander Harry about Linda Meach. I'm not sure if you guys saw that. Let me see if I can.
It was a very good ride last time, and brave, yeah, like I said.
So Andrew Bensley posted 6 hours ago, Trent Busterton doesn't think Linda will ride Commander Harry in the Derby.
Oh, jeez. Wow. Way to break our hearts.
Hold Breaking on. News. False alarm.
Well, breaking news.
Oh, boy.
No. Boy. She won't ride him the way he did, that she did.
Sorry,
I thought I saw something. I thought I saw something, and it just the tactics changed.
Nah, still probably enough to put me off, to be honest, because I liked it riding from the front last time.
But I had to make that mid-race move. I had to go around them. Yeah. So it gave me a little bit harder in a derby, but, at least she's still riding, and that's good.
One more question on that one from a Supercoach perspective. Are we taking Gunstock and Forgot You, or one or the other?
I personally probably will not. I'm thinking Gunstock and Hitotsu, to be honest.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huge.
I've got Just Forgot You in at the moment, but things could change. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I tend to play it pretty safe in my selections. I think I might take Gunstock and Forgot You, especially given it's a group one. I think there's some, even if I can pick up a first and a third, or even a fourth in a group one, could be some pretty handy points, especially at that price.
Yeah.
I did just want to add about Hitotsu. The only query I had on him was the 1600 to 2500. Last year we saw Young Werther go from 1800 to 2500, and I think he was only third up. He's obviously the best horse in the race. We've seen that in this year, but yeah, I'm just not 100% sure about the setup. I really wanted to see that run at 2000.
Yeah.
All right. Take note, Kane, before you plonk the house on it. The next one, the next race we've got is the Coolmore Stud Stakes, race 7 at Flemington. Over 1,200 metres straight. Is that the length of the straight, 1,200 metres, or they got to come around a bit of a bend?
Yeah,
top of the straight. Top of the straight, beautiful. Extreme Warrior tops the market here at the moment. We did a bit of a percentage profile on Extreme Warrior earlier in the day. What are your thoughts there, Kane?
Yeah, I'd really like Extreme Warrior. So Great Signs is a two-year-old. Wasn't far off Animo, actually, before they spelled it. Came back with a dominant Chuka performance as a short fave, and then absolutely bolted him and busted the clock in the Blue Sapphire, beating Profiteer. Perfectly drawn in nine. I think if they go to the outside group where the speed is drawn, I think he can just sort of take a sit behind and be prominent early. He looks very talented, and despite the large field, I think he's going to be very hard to beat with a clear run. The next one is In the Congo at 150,000, so slightly cheaper than Extreme Warrior. Has some of the best form in the country, beating Animo last start at 1,400. However, he drops back to 1,200 and he won't get the Rose Hill leader bias like he did that day, where a lot of the winners were coming from up on the speed. However, drawn in 12 will likely lead that outside group if they don't form sort of to one. However, it looks a great chance here and can't knock the form and bargain price at 150,000. So I wouldn't say no. Palele, a few ways to pronounce it. That's what I'm going with. 225,000. Chased home affairs, two back, that ran in the Everest and was actually considered for the Godolphin Everest slot before they hand it to Trekking, I believe. But he put them away last start at Randwick. Not sure how good that form is coming here. However, probably inclined to risk and leave him out at the 225,000, if I'm honest. Artorias at 175,000 had three runs between 14 and 1600 for the last three. May appreciate the drop back to 1200. The tempo, I think, should be quick enough here for him to show his well-known fast closing splits. And was the Blue Diamond winner, if I'm not mistaken, as a two-year-old. Can he do it again on another big day? He showed he could last prep. So, let's see if he can do it again.
Very nice. Ben, thoughts on this one?
Yeah, the good thing about these races, these three-year-old races, is if you like one, you can pretty much take it in your Supercoach team just because of the prices. I thought the favourite, or might be second favourite, Extreme Warrior, jumped straight off the page. And he was probably, to be honest, the first horse I picked in my stable for Supercoach and possibly a captain option. He's just come back a new beast this prep. I think he had a throat operation over the break, and he's obviously thriving now. He broke his maiden easily two starts back, and then he smashed Profiteer, who was favourite, the stablemate, and there was a gap back to third. So you always like seeing those gaps, a horse who can win like that. You don't have a bad horse. You can't have a bad horse who wins like that. I think in the Congo, he's got the blinkers on first time, so he's obviously going to rocket to the lead. I really like where Extreme Warrior is drawn in 9. I think he's got options. Wherever in the Congo goes, he can kind of tag it. He doesn't have to be too far back. I'm a big fan of Artoria, so I'm probably going to have something on him. Just going down the straight, the Freedmans have been really, really confident with him going down the straight. They've even hinted at a possible new market in the autumn. So I'm going to have something on him. So that'll be the two in my team, Extreme Warrior and Artorias at 200K and 175. Possibly the captain's armband to Extreme Warrior. And I am scared of Pulali. I think Pulali and Artorias are the two horses with the big turns of foot, but it's Extreme Warrior clearly on top for me.
Early call on the captaincy there. Don't mind it. It's a brave captaincy selection. It's not just your usual sort of $2.50 favorite, but it's I like it. It's a good risk, and it'll be interesting to see if it pays off. Ingratiating is an interesting one here. Daniel Moore jumps on board for the first time. We know Sammy's a big fan of Daniel Moore, and he's in form, and at $23. Could have a bit of a danger here. Who knows? But that would be the one at odds for me. We'll move on to race 8, which is the final Group 1 at Flemington, the Kennedy Cantala Stakes over 1600 meters. Kane, you know you and I love this song, I'm sure you and I'll be backing it all the way home for that reason. Mr. Brightside at the top of the market at 420.
Oh, not just for that reason. Mr. Brightside, though. I mean, how can you knock the form? You only have to go look at his starting prices. Not even his starting price. He's not started under $3 in all 6 of his wins. 5 of them being at 1600, which he gets here. Craig Williams has ridden him 6 times for 6 wins. Like, it's hard to go past at 52 kilos. Draws well in 6. Has plenty of options from the gates. And Supercoach wise, at 175,000, he's behind Extreme Warrior. It's probably the second pick in my stable, and definitely a possible captain option, just with the smaller field, a little touch smaller than the Coolmore. So I think I could definitely have Mr. Brightside skip, but for sure he'll be in my side. From a Supercoach perspective, the next one I want to touch on is Shayu at 275,000. We know he's a gun first up. Can he do it second up here? Has good Flemington stats. And second up last prep ran well in a Group 1. Gate 12, he can just go back like he likes to do and try and come over the top of them, especially if there's a hot tempo on. And then there's just a couple. I think they're the two that you can only really pick unless you're seeing something that the market and I aren't. I just want to mention them, though. That's Riadini at 275,000, Arameo at 325,000, Icebath's come down from Sydney with a massive win last week on the 7-day backup at 350,000, and then probably not a Supercoach play, but I really like to see how he goes. Cascadian at 425,000 was massive in this last year. Absolutely stormed home. Wasn't able to get the chocolates over Yulong Prince, but it was a fantastic run. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes in his second run in the Cantala.
Very good. Ben, any from a Supercoach perspective here for you, or is it just a betting race?
Oh, I think in terms of Supercoach, I think you have to have Mr. Brightside. At 175,000, he's the favourite, and he's on the minimum with 52 kilos. In terms of betting, I think you're either with Mr. Brightside or you're going to bracket bet a couple. I'm not 100% sure which way I'm going to go yet. The thing with Mr. Brightside is he's going so well, and Drawn 6 is going to get a gun run with Willow aboard. But it's just that same factor as Forgot You. I'm just not 100% sure how many times they can go to the well, if he might be prone to a flat one. You've got Buffalo River, who's going to lead them here no matter what. His only way of winning is by going fast, I think, but I'm not sure he's going to get conditions to suit. I think he needs the rain. And not sure about 1600 as well. I think the three class runners are Arameo, Superstorm, and Cascadian. Arameo is like absolutely flying. He's come back from Singapore. I think it was ex-Godolphin Horse, but he's come back from there and he's ran a second to Private Eye, third to Atitia, and second to Zaki in his three runs this time in. So I think he'll be on side for me no matter what. I'll be taking the $9 there. And then Superstorm and Cascadian are probably the two big closers. Cascadian's ran second and third in this race for the last 2 years. And Superstorm, I think if he's going to win a Group 1, this is his chance. Flemington, 1,600 metres, and hopefully he gets the speed on to come over the top.
Very nice. So, again, I don't know why I'm going to Sam's notes. There's not a lot of credibility in them, but his tip here is Mr. Brightside. First sentence and the only sentence I'll read, the only horse I trust with Craig. So he's whacked Craig there.
I think that's because last week Craig had a shocker on Saturday and then everyone backed him on Mr. Brightside on the Sunday and it was just an absolute – it was a gun ride. But yeah, he couldn't have gone wrong there.
I think Sam might have had a piece of the $1.26 on Zaki.
Oh, Zaki, yeah.
Yeah. You would have thought so. Although knowing Sam, he probably only had a dollar each way. So, probably wouldn't have lost too much on it. We're done with the Flemington Group 1s at least. On to Rose Hill. Believe it or not, Ben, there are Supercoach relevant races in Sydney this week. So
too soon.
We have the Golden Eagle over 1,500 metres. Colette, last year's winner. And I'm Thunderstruck, the one that stands out here, Kane.
Yeah, he does. No, he absolutely stands out. Was massive in the Toorak. One of the all-time great rides from Jai McNeil. If you haven't seen the helicopter footage of that, go back and watch it because it was just absolutely fantastic. The gaps he was able to find to get it up. Hugh Bowman goes on board now. Gate 10, maybe a slight query. However, it's hard to knock the form. He's been absolutely fantastic. This prep beat Tafane in the Toorak there. And at 250,000, it's hard to say no to him. Just with this big field, I'd be a little bit wary of putting more than two runners in, just with so many good options in the other group ones. In the big field, I'd probably, if you like one or two, just stick with them and roll with that. And a bit like the Cantala, there's a couple that are just well priced that I don't necessarily have a read on, but I think might be good options. The first two in that clump, I think Apache Chase and Private Eye bring some good form lines in, both at the same price, very cheap. And I think you can definitely throw them in if you like them. And then you've got Ellsberg at 200,000, Count de Rupee. I've seen a lot of experts getting around that for the big one this week, 175,000, definitely a good price. And then Maximal at 400,000 coming over from the UK, I believe. Interesting gate 22, not sure where he maps, but be interesting to see how the UK form stacks up here, or the international form stacks up.
Yeah, well, stacked up pretty well last week for State of Rest, but who knows with Maximal. Ben, any notes on Maximal there and a few of the other runners in this one?
I'm not 100% sure about Maximal. He obviously brings real class form lines, but he was given the visitor's draw. In terms of Supercoach, I don't think I could have him at 400,000. I think there's going to be good pressure in this race. We've got Apache Chase, Vangelic, Ellsberg, and Love Tap all going forward. I think barrier 10 for I'm Thunderstruck is actually going to work out quite okay. I think he'll, middle of the line, I think he'll be able to find that three wide with cover line, hopefully. We're on him at $14 racing previews, close friends, so we're really giving him strength. And it's good to see he's had some backing today. I think he's into 360. Private Eye, he's going to have to stand them a fair head start, but he's got a big motor, and I do rate him as a horse. Apache Chase and Ellsberg, they're going to be right up there in that speed battle. I just query them at a strong 1500. 1500 might be okay. 1600 is probably pushing it for those two. I think they're both 1400 meter specialists, but they'll be there for a long way. Maxible, I probably need to do a bit more form on, but that second to Bayeed is obviously unbelievable form. We saw what Bayeed did the other week. And then you've got Kantarupi who ran enormous the other day. But I'm all over. I'm thunderstruck. We were talking off air about the thunder coming down tonight, so hopefully it's an omen and he will be in my Supercoach team.
Yeah, plenty of thunder around tonight and a bit of lightning if there's any lightning named horses this weekend.
Mask Crusader.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, very good call.
If you
in the lightning.
Private still. Eye, yeah, there's a bit around for Private Eye. I think there's a bit of talk about it. From a Supercoach perspective, I'm thinking maybe running I'm Thunderstruck and Private Eye just to hedge my bets, but it's a bit of money to pay up. It's not like a Forgot You and Gunstock where you can grab them both for 250K. You're paying 250K plus for each. So I'll have to consider that one going into the weekend. But, yeah, fair bit to consider there. Thanks for coming on, Ben. We're through our group ones now. We'll let you go because you are the group one expert and it's been great to have your insights.
I wouldn't say that.
we'll wait for the results this weekend and come back to them and see how you went. But, yeah, it's been great to have you on and yeah, hopefully get you back on another time and good luck for the rest of the Spring Carnival and with all your work at the Valley. And, yeah, thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot, and I love the podcast, so I'll be tuning in every week. Cheers.
Good stuff, mate. Thanks again. So continuing on with the groups galore section, we're going to head to the group twos, Flemington Wakeful Stakes 2,000-meter race. Kane, who's leading the pack here, at least from a Supercoach perspective?
In terms of the Wakeful, there's a couple I like. They're all at a relatively cheap price, all being three-year-olds. So there's five of them sort of in that clump. It's El Patroness. You got Daisies, Yearning, Barbrader, and Capilua Sunset. El Patroness, Tuvac, recall beats, beat Gunstock, actually, over the 2,000 metres at Flemington. And then last start, they turned the tables, Gunstock ran over the top. So it comes out with some pretty strong form lines, and that's why she's come up favourite here. Daisies, as we know, was given a great ride by Damien Lane to get up at Caulfield last start. Yearning won the 1,000 guineas a couple of Wednesdays ago at Caulfield. Barb Raider's an interesting one. I really like her here. She's a very good winning chance. And came out of that guineas that was won by Yearning, and just stepping back to the 2,000 metres, I think is really going to suit, is going to get the right tempo, and I think given a right run, can really be up there and potentially winning. And the last one's Capital of Sunset. Just had no luck last start, so a complete forgive. Personally, I don't think I'll be taking any from this race just because I think it's so tight at the top. You kind of need to find just one and stick with it if that's the way you're going to go. But I feel like you're either going to get 32 points or come off with something like maybe an 18 and it just becomes your non-scorer. So I'm steering clear of the Wakeful.
Fair enough. I think Kapalua Sunset is the only one for me who, as you said, big forgive last start, Ollie on board, and can probably feature pretty heavily in this one. So I don't think I'll go there at the price, just probably a tad risky and a bit too much of a pod. But, certainly at $9.50 might be worth a little nibble from a non-Supercoach perspective. We'll move on to the next group to Flemington, the Linlithgow Stakes. Oxley Road at 225K, Kane.
Yeah, this race, I really want to target. As it stands, I don't have anyone from this race in my stable, but I'm really trying to find a way to sneak one in. Just with it only being nine runners, and there's like two clear top picks here. At affordable prices. You got Oxley Road at 225,000 and Kemal Pasta at 375. Think you really need to try and squeeze one in. Oxley Road, obviously last start, given a great ride by Blake McDougall at Caulfield. Beat Malkovich there, and it was a very nice win. Slight query, stepping from 1,000 metres back up to 1,200 is probably not ideal. Kemal Pasta, however, I really, really like him here. Just think they were going to go to the Manicato, but have opted probably for an easier kill here, and I can see why, because he's lobbed up and looks a very nice winning chance. At 375, I can definitely make a case. The other one's Brooklyn Hustle. Just don't know where he's at. Probably will like the space at Flemington, getting back to the big track up the straight there. But as I said, looking to target the race, will most likely pick up one of Oxley Road or Kemal Pasta. So if you can, try and squeeze one of those in, I'd say.
Good advice. Yeah, Kemal Pasta at 375K. It's a bit to pay for a group two that isn't the favourite. Not really my tactic, just saying, but... Yeah, that's a bit of an interesting one for me, because I think any of those top three in the race is a good chance of winning it. And I'm not a huge fan of the extra price tag if there's not a big favourite involved. So I might steer clear of that one. Onto Rose Hill, the Gold Cup. This is one where I am having a look at the top two in this race. Think It Over and Gold Trip. Run us through those two, Kane.
Yeah, I agree, James. Think It Over at 500,000 and Gold Trip at 325K. This is definitely a race you want one in. If you can afford it, grab Think It Over. I think as one of the last two starts, would have been pretty competitive had they had got accepted for the Cox Plate. But staying up in Sydney, looks a very good winning chance here. Had him in the past, actually, in my stable and paid off, grabbing a 32 points at one stage. But the other one's Gold Trip at 325K, a bit more value here. Was supposed to run in the Cox Plate but didn't pass a vets exam, which was pretty controversial. They found out that he was lame and wasn't allowed to run in the race, so lobs up here. And you'd think if he was good enough to run in a Cox Plate, he should be bloody good enough to win a Rose Hill Gold Cup. So at the moment, I think I'm going to go with Gold Trip in my stable, to be honest. If I do, I think he's like my eighth pick or something like that when I go through it, and can just slot him in under the budget, which is perfect. And the other thing to note is if you do get it right and get the winner here, Think It Over is already 500K, so he can't go up in price. But whereas Gold Trip, if he does manage to snag the win for you, there's 32 points and a nice 25K price rise to think about, which you will need come Oaks and Stakes Day.
Yeah, Think It Over and Gold Trip, I reckon I'm a chance to start both of them. It's a lot of money to spend on two group twos. It's a lot of money. I think in the end I'll end up only having to pick one. I'm actually very tempted to start Think It Over as captain even. So I don't know, a couple of ballsy moves there. I know you're pulling a few facial expressions, but got the rank on you at the moment. So
turn it up.
We'll have to see. There's still plenty of time to prepare for the weekend, and I'm sure once I go to it, go a bit more in depth there, I might go for a bit of a safer option. But yeah, both very good prospects. Just finally on that one, I just like the fact that both of them are pretty clearly in front in that race. So I like to target those races where you've just got one or two horses up front and can snare plenty of points for you. So bit of advice there for the Rose Hill Gold Cup. And the final group two we're going to preview, and the final race we're going to preview, is the Classique Legend Stakes. I was interested actually to see that it was named after Classique Legend already. still running, obviously. Saw it a couple of weeks ago. What's the background on that, Kane? They've gone early.
They have gone early. They've given it the title. I believe it must have won this race in the past, or maybe just because it won the Everest. Don't have too much of a read on the name, but I will get stuck into the horses that are inside the race.
Probably what we're looking for.
Yeah. Let's go with Mars Crusader at 500,000. This race just looks ideal for him. Was just about a moral beat in the Everest. Obviously wasn't a moral going into it, but when you look at the run, missing the start by 2 lengths and then making up all that ground to then charge home, the 1,300 metres looks to suit absolutely perfectly. Can miss the kick if he wants by 1 or 2. Still be with the pack and within striking distance, especially if there's some speed up front from our next pick, Eduardo, at 475,000. He'll be running over the top of him late. So I think Mars Crusader might go a little bit unnoticed. With a week like this with so many good group ones, a lot of people would just be keen to just go, no, I'm just going all group ones. But Mars Crusader, I'd definitely pay 500,000 for him if you can snag the 32 points. No price increase if he does get the win, however. But I'll definitely be picking Mars Crusader. And the other ones, yeah, Eduardo, as I said, at 475,000, put himself on speed. We'll look to try and lead the whole way. I personally won't be having him, but I think if you do like him, throw him in.
I think that's pretty good advice. I hadn't really looked at Mars Crusader too much myself, but that might be a better way to split up my group two horses this week, I think. We'll get to that question a little bit later as well. We did get a question in about how many group ones and group twos to run this week. So we'll get to that shortly. Onto Kano's captains. Who are you liking the look of this week, Kane?
Yeah, new segment this week. I just thought after last week's dismal captaincy performance by myself, and you're taking it for granted a bit. So we brought in the new segment, Kano's captains. This week there's sort of three options I'm sort of tossing up. The first one would be Tafane at 500,000, favourite in a group one, proven now at the 1600. Just whether he's come out of that Turak run, I'm not sure, but definitely a very good captaincy pick. Next one at 175,000, you can't knock the winning form. Mr. Brightside, looking very good here. I just think it's very hard to knock winning form. Even if you can grab second, 32 points, you'll take it. But to round out the Kano's captain segment for myself and my most likely captain for this week is going to be Extreme Warrior, 200,000. Just, we've spoken about it before, gate 9. Just sits up on speed, just in behind them, maps perfectly, was massive last start, and think it'd be very hard to run down. Extreme Warrior gets the Kano's captain's nod for this week.
There we go, Extreme Warrior on top for Kano's captains. I suppose the whole idea behind Kano's captains is that I don't get a say in it. It's just Kano's captains. There's no sort of input from me. So you might have to keep an eye out online for who my captain is. I don't know if I've landed on one just captain, yet. Anyway.
But who are you thinking? Have you got anyone in mind?
Oh, it's nice for you to involve me in the Kano's captain segment. I don't know. I think Brightside, like you said, even if it can snag second, 32 will do. And in all honesty, third, 24 could be worse. I think 24 is one that is probably the minimum I consider. Like I'll often look for a horse that if it can't win, it goes second or third, especially when it comes to group one. So obviously you can't predict the future, but we'll just look for good, consistent form. And Brightside's really doing that for me at the moment. And like we said with Kaluzi, it's a name that we all know and love. So be riding at home all the way. Jockey on board segment, quick one. I think we're both pretty set here.
Yeah, set and forget. As I said, I went against my judgments from the past few weeks and actually had a look at the jockey challenge and saw that Damien Oliver was a favourite, so I just picked him. And as discussed before, yeah, he got a measly 1 point, just got out a ride for a day. Don't know, took a holiday. I think he left halfway through. Saw him at Rooney Pond Station, asked him for spare change. So don't know what was going on there. But yeah, and J Mac proved he scored 7 points last week, and that's almost probably like 20, 30, 40 rankings depending on where you are. So it's a lot more important than people think. Just pick J Mac and you'll never go back.
Yeah. Oh, I like it. J Mac and never go back. Yeah, that's where I'm going as well. It's probably, he's well and truly on top in terms of Supercoach points for the season so far. So that's where I'll be heading with my jockey as well. Over to the questions with notice segment. We've got Tyler Maher, great friend of the show, who always sends in a question. He's gone with a question: are you trying to pick 8 winners this week, group 1 or group 2 he's referring to there, or are you just loading up on the group 1s? It's a good question because obviously there's 5 group 1s. So he's saying, are you spreading out your love across the group 2s as well to try and pick 8 winners, or are you going to go with just the group 1s and pick a couple to place? What do you think, Kane?
Yeah, thanks for sending that in, Tyler. Very good question. Look, you're always trying to pick 8 winners every week, but the way my team's structured at the moment, not necessarily. I've got, for example, Hitotsu and Gunstock in there at the moment, so 2 in the derby. Are we looking to play? I would just be happy if I can even get 24 and 32, to be honest, out of that. As for the others, pretty much going for the win in most of them, but I've actually got 2 group 2s. In at this stage, so I would say for the rest of them, yeah, I'm pretty much trying to go for the win with the rest of them rather than sort of trying to pick the top 2 in a couple of the group 1s. I just think there's some better chances for points in some of the group 2s that might get overlooked and be a couple of point of differences for you, for your stable.
Yeah, I've generally been pretty safe in my selection so far this season. I tend to look for out-and-out favourites, but it doesn't look like there's too many of those around this week. So, like I said before, I'm going to try and look for some fields where there's 2 out on top. And if there are 2 out on top, then I'll be probably taking both of those unless they're a bit too pricey to fit in the stable. But, yeah, for me, it's not necessarily about whether it's a group 1 or a group 2. I still think there's plenty of points to be had in a group 2 if you're taking the right horses. So, someone like a Gold Trip presents really good value this week, probably a proper group 1 horse really at its best. So, I think I'll probably end up at a guess with 2 group 2s, 2 group 2 horses this week, and then load up the rest with group 1. So hopefully that answers your question, Tyler. One more question from Muxley PFS. He says, with so many group 1s, what's your best captaincy moral this week? Keep up the good work, gents. Thanks, Muxley. You would have just heard Kano's captain's segment, so he ran through the captaincies there. I don't know if there was a moral in there. There's probably not a moral this week. It's not one of those weeks, so if you... Obviously, Kane's gone with Extreme Warrior. Look, moral for me, like I said, Brightside, but I've got a really good feeling about, I don't know. I'm going to stick with Brightside for now. Might be able to, we'll probably get that out on our socials later in the week to confirm those captaincy picks. So
I will say, on that question, while there is no moral this week, Extreme Warrior does look pretty good. If you do want one from left field, though, not too left field, but one I didn't actually mention on the Canis Captains segment, you might think about going with Masked Crusader or Gold Trip. I know Group 2, you can't get the maximum points, but I think the level of risk the amount of level of risk that goes down versus the points that you lose if something you would have captained scores 40 and your scores 32 outweighs it every day of the week. So if you're sort of tossing up between a couple like I sort of was, and you like one in the group twos that's in maybe a smaller field, maybe there's only a couple in the race that can really win it, then back your gut and go with one of those. I'd say Mass Crusader is probably the better of the two there, but Gold Trooper almost looks a two-horse race in the Gold Cup. So, yeah, definitely I think just trust your instinct, a bit like I didn't last week.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with one of your points there in that I've definitely tried to look for smaller fields with my captaincy early on, and that's been going pretty well for me. So, and then, yeah, obviously if group two, if the group twos are providing better captaincy options, don't be afraid to go there. You don't have to go to group ones and go for the big maximum points. There's a lot more that – a lot of the times a lot more that can go wrong in a group one that has a big field versus a group two that might be a bit smaller. So that wraps up the questions with notice, and it wraps up the show. Been good to come on, Kane. First time making a podcast with you, and it's been a pleasure. Obviously, we had our late scratching, and there might be a bit of an internal review there at the 1%ers about that and how that was conducted. And we'll see if we can get Sam back on next week. I think he's going through a bit of a struggle at the moment with his side, and he's probably spent all night trying to work on it because he knows that it needs plenty of work at the moment. So, yeah, we'll see what eventuates next week. But and once again, get involved in our rival bet competition this week. That's a really exciting one, and you don't have to win all of Supercoach to win that prize. Just our league. And just for the week. So it's a fresh start. Anyone can win. So, yeah, follow the instructions on our socials for that. Any last word, Kane, for this week?
Yeah, I will just say if you're looking for a real in-depth view of the races coming up this weekend, especially the big ones, go to Instagram, type in racing previews. Our man Benny Calusi has done the form on all of the big ones, and his thoughts on those. And of course, hop in the DMs and say the 1% has sent you, and he'll chuck you in the close friends, and he'll show you his futures bets and his bets for the weekend as well, and what he really likes. So jump on there.
Great shout! Yeah, it was great to have Ben on, and thanks again, Ben, for coming on the show. But good luck to everyone for this weekend, and it won't be too long before you hear our voices again. Yeah. Good luck, and we'll see you next week.
Nature strip the lot.
No.
Hamburger with the lot.
Today we farewell an Australian icon, the greatest of all time. Wing spins a third. Queen Elizabeth beats Blue Gun.